always count it an honor and a joy to be in his presence. And surely I can tell you with an honest heart that I have been in prayer concerning this church. I've been in prayer concerning the needs of this church. And my heart has been before God, sincerely wanting only to give what he has to give. Tonight I'm here to try and accomplish that purpose. And I ask for your prayers. Turn with me in your Bible to the 14th chapter of John. We're going to read just a little passage and leave it with you. The Lord has been giving me lately all kinds of nuggets and wisdom. And for me, I'm excited about all the things that God's going to do and what he's going to provide for the body. But for me, my duty is to ask, well, when do I give it? When is the time? And the Lord shows and the Lord knows. So let's read a few verses of this chapter. And I know that if you seek God, you will be blessed from this word. Let's start with the first verse of chapter 14 in the book of St. John. Read it with me. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus spoke to him and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip spoke unto him and said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Now listen to these words and be careful to pay attention right now. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Let's read verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, read this phrase with me tonight, that will I do. Let's say it one more time. That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I want to go back to a specific verse in verse 12. Read this with me. It's important. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. God has surely blessed us with an abundance of more than what we can even use, more than we can play with, more than we can even enjoy. Surely God has blessed us. Surely we walk in an age of plentiful. Surely we walk in an age of getting whatever we want. You can get clothes in whatever color that you want. You can get your automobile
in any color that you want. You can get any kind of movie that you want to watch, any genre that you want. You can buy cable packages a la carte to your preference of what you want. You can buy internet speeds at any speed that you want. You can get phone service and tiered packages in any way that you want. You have a volume control on your radio that lets you turn it up and down to exactly where you want it. We have ways of making food to the way, well, if there's people that like it real sweet, well, honey, you can put as much sugar on you that you want, and it'll be sweet. We live in a world where we have where we can make it as salty as we want. We can go and eat as much food as we want. We can go and choose what life that we want to live. So my question to you is, do we not live in an age where we are blessed? We're not standing in impoverished times. We're not walking where we struggle. We're not walking in a day where we're trying to fight for clothes on our back. We're not trying to fight for our next meal. We're not trying to go after and have to fend for our family and draw a line around our property and say this is ours. But I find that it has came to us very freely, very openly, and to our preference. And I don't know about you, but when I think about his blessings, I think about what he has opened up and given me, I hardly can find the courage to ask for more. Because when I know that he has brought me so far, I can hardly open up and say, God, I need more in my life. But we are here tonight either because we are unhappy with our situation and are looking for a word. We're longing for peace in our lives and in this torment we're going through. And we're searching for something to give us purpose, to give us reason, to restore us unto the happiness that we once knew. We're all looking for an answer tonight. We're all determined to get where we want to go. We all have a desire to see the things that we're wanting come to pass. Can we agree on that? If you didn't agree with that, I'm here to tell you that if you want things, you buy things. If you want things, you work for them. If you want stuff, you pay the price to have it. And when you have it, you're proud of what you've got. When we live in a world where we are in such demand of just things and in such demand of just what we can get out here, then when we come into the house of God, it becomes more about what we're not getting, what we don't have, and we're unsatisfied with the things that we should be content with. This is the word that God has given me. This is the day and age where when we live in a time of plentiful, that our imaginations begin to expand beyond the means of what we have. And with these imaginations become a greater level and of evil and wickedness to where we can't manage and control the very things that we have. Yet we're asking for more in our life. I'm here to tell you there was a time in my life when I thought that I needed drugs to fulfill me, and I sought after those things to fulfill me, to bring me pleasure, to give me some kind of happiness, to give me some kind of numbing from the pain, to help me find joy and refuge. But every single day that I destroyed myself, every single time that I gave my dependency upon these things, I didn't find any pleasure in it. I didn't find any joy in it. By the time that I got through with it, I was most miserable and unhappy. And surely a day had come where the things that I had grown accustomed to having, the things that I had grown to learn to be happy with, I had taken advantage of the very things that I had been blessed to have. And I walked in my imagination and was drawn away into wickedness, and I was tugged away by the lust of my flesh, and surely I failed. But by the grace of God, we are here today. By the grace of God, he has brought my expansion of imagination under subjection to the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That means he's changed my mind about needing drugs. He's changed my being about what I desire. He has made me content with what he has blessed me with. Church, there's going to going to come a day with what you're looking for, and what you have, you're going to take advantage of. You're just going to be great, ungrateful for the things that God has blessed you with. And there's going to come a time when the enemy will begin to expand your imagination and draw you away by the lust of your flesh. And you'll come in seeking for a peace that you won't find, because it's not through the door that God has appointed us to walk through. There's a place that we can get to where we think that grace is salvation, but grace is only a way back to salvation. Grace is what is there for you that gives you a pathway to return unto God for a new beginning. I have to go through all of this before we open up what the Lord has given me. I was going to try to read through it, but for the sake of time, you can just go read it for yourself. The beginning of wickedness was entered into the world when Adam and Eve sinned against God. Death was pronounced upon them as the curse for mankind. But grace was not absent in that hour. And through His love and mercy, generations went forth beyond the ones who made the mistakes, that they learned from them. But as they were blessed with things, their imaginations were drawn away into wickedness. And God had to move in such a way that they would be reminded and humbled and put into a remembrance that they would never forget, that God doesn't put up with our junk. So we get to the scripture. It's in the 6th chapter of Genesis. It begins in this passage. We read about a man by the name of Noah. He was a moral man, as God called him. He received a word, and God was revealing unto him what had to come to bring a remedy to the wickedness that had begun to envelop what originally was a blessing from God. And in the Old Testament, you'll realize that He was a God of wrath, and He did not put up with this kind of wickedness. And He pronounced and said, 120 years shall come, that the wickedness that they do now shall come to an end. And I will bring the flood waters upon the earth, and everything, every living thing that lives and breathes shall I consume. But Noah, I see you as a moral man, and I will give you my instruction, and I will have you to construct an ark. There are some theologians that say the ark didn't take 120 years. There are some that say that it was between 25 to 75 years, depending on when the children of Noah were able to get married and have children. He instructed them to go and multiply, and in that time began to construct an ark that I will be able to keep you safe in, and to take in the beasts that were clean and unclean, to take them in. He counted them by number. He gave them the dimensions to build it, and He gave them the time frame to construct it. So in that time, through that window, there was a time where Noah's family was found out in the dry times building an ark, because they had received a word. Noah was over 500 years in age when this event began. It's hard to imagine, but I'm here to tell some of you, age isn't anything to God. He just wants somebody that's willing. He found somebody on the earth, even though there was wickedness everywhere, that was still moral and was still worthy to receive the instruction. The Holy Spirit is our gateway unto the door. And by the door of Jesus Christ, we're covered from our sin. Not only that, but with the ability to cast off the wickedness that once had to be destroyed in the days of Noah. So He begins to bring forth the animals. He begins to bring forth His family. In 7 days, they stood in that ark before the first drop of rain ever came forth. And I want to tell you that when it came time for change, the Lord shut the door, and He began to bring forth the destruction of wickedness. And in that time, there wasn't a breathing human being, a breathing creature, anything that flew or that walked upon the earth that survived that time. Every single thing that had walked on the earth in that time of wickedness was consumed. You need to understand this, because if we didn't have the love of God, this would be the means that we would have to suffer in this day. But today, we're sitting here by the very grace of God. You don't feel it on that padding that you're you're sitting on, but there's grace underneath what you're sitting on right now. You might not feel it when you get in your car and go down the road, but you're sitting and riding down the road with the grace of God. You might not feel it when somebody's persecuting you, but you serve a loving God that cares about you, that loves you, that is your shield, that is your protection, and will cover you in the day and the hour when he calls forth his church. Now I'm going to try to connect some of this as the Lord has showed it to me. The closing of the door to the ark was the end of times for this generation, that when the time came, in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, God would call forth his children. The trumpet will be sounded. And all the times that you put God off, you will no longer have a chance. All the times you said, maybe next week I'll make it right, maybe tomorrow I'll make it right, one of these days I'll get off all this stuff and get it together. Maybe you have children that's saying that. Friends, there's a sense of urgency that we've got to have, because from the moment that Jesus gave up the ghost, he said that he would come in an hour that we know not. It wasn't a definitive 120 years. There were millennial people that tried to predict the coming of the Lord in the 80s and they failed. There were people that tried to say that it was coming in the 90s and they failed. But I'm here to tell you, friend, we don't know when it's going to come, but it's going to come to a day when the wickedness is greater than the morality on this earth. But God's going to be looking for a few willing individuals that'll be willing to build up whatsoever the Lord saith. And we're not building an ark out here today, but we're building up the praises of the Most High God. We're building up the authority that he has given us by the access of Jesus Christ, who we have the confidence and the belief to know that he is surely going forth and fighting our battles. By the sacrifice of Christ, we can put forth a death to wickedness. Did you know that? That's how I'm free from drugs today. By the blood of Christ only. By the blood of Christ only am I able to be free. By the blood of Christ only am I able to be raptured one day and say, come forth, my son, I'm pleased with you. I'm only free by the blood of Christ. But there was a generation, and it was a living example for us to know today, that did not have the love that was shown to us now. They didn't have another chance. They didn't have grace, but they were enveloped by the wrath of God. He had even got so grieved, the Bible says grieved, that he even brought forth mankind for the wickedness that it reaches. If you think things are bad right now, I'm here to tell you, friend, that there's going to come darker days. There's going to come demons that'll be as bold as to walk into the church house and to challenge you for what you believe. There's going to be politicians that are going to try to shut down your establishments. There's going to be people that say they know better than you and have the science to prove it. In the day of science, there's many people that say that we have many errors in our scripture, that there's many failures in the numbers, but I can't find anywhere that God ever failed, that anything he ever spoke to his children might have ever failed. But I know this, the obedience of God's children is what made it victorious. It's not the translation of the word that makes it powerful. It's not what it reads in contemporary English or King James or New Living Translation that makes it powerful. But what makes it powerful is when you put it in here and realize there will be a day when we'll go where there'll be no more sickness or death or pain, and all the wickedness that we suffer through right now will have to be under subjection to the wrath of God. A day of judgment shall come for those who do not believe. When God found me, I was in a heavy metal band. I was playing on the road. I was a drunk. I was a drug addict. I didn't believe. I laughed at those who believed. I thought it was a joke. I thought they were crazy. I didn't think anything they were doing had any power or effect on me. I was so set in my ways, nobody could move me. But I'm here to tell you that it doesn't take somebody that's a Christian to begin to shake things up in your life to make you realize there is a God out there that is very much aware of what you're doing. And I'm talking to those that are saved, and I'm talking to some of those tonight tonight that may not know God the way that you should know God, but He is accountable to every idle word that we speak, and He sees when our imaginations are provoked unto wickedness. And I don't want to be found being one of those people, one of those hypocrites that the Bible says, but I want to be the guy that goes to the altar with you. I want to be the guy that praises the Lord with you. Will somebody praise God with me right now? I'm here to tell somebody that you might feel like you're all alone, but surely God has got me up on this floor right now to tell you that though wickedness is raging in this world, that we still have the power and the authority to tread upon serpents and tread upon scorpions, to speak unto anything that would try to bring death upon us, and to say that we have a God in heaven that is greater than any foe of the devil. He is greater than any foe of darkness. He's greater than any drug. He's greater than any alcohol. He's greater than any sin. There's a reason that I can praise Him, because He who the Son has set free is free indeed. If we can't preach the word where it convicts people about their lifestyle, you're not preaching it good enough. Yeah, I'm going to say it. Yeah, I'm going to put it out there. If we're not going to tell people that what they're doing is not moral, then they're going to be consumed in the day of judgment. Don't just make an excuse for them. Look them in the eye and show them a humbleness. Where will we find ourselves? I'll tell you exactly where we'll find ourselves. We'll send a private message to somebody that we shouldn't have on Facebook. We'll find ourselves texting somebody that we shouldn't be texting. We'll find ourselves doing things that we shouldn't be doing. You'll download apps that you think are innocent, but will pull you in to a wickedness you never thought you could have. You'll begin to date people you think are for you, but in fact they're against you. You'll begin to think that there's a day where you're truly content, and all of a sudden, in a moment, everything that you've got is turned upside down. Then in your heart you feel empty, because you've not turned in the times that were good and were thankful unto the Lord. But now we're in the generation of give and take. We are a walking representation of Laodicea. We walk as a blessed people. We walk with anything that we could desire. There was a time that everybody that roamed the earth didn't have the freedom to read the Word of God. But now we possess this freedom. There was a time that you couldn't proclaim that you were a Christian. But we live in a country that, through those that have fought for it, has given us a means to say that we can believe. But no matter how hard you fight, no matter how many armies we deploy in the name of the USA, there won't be enough combat troops on the ground to fight what the devil's going to throw at this generation. There's not going to be enough Air Force and Navy, Special Forces and Black Ops. They make it so fanatical in video games about how powerful that we can be with a gun and a controller. But I'm here to tell you it's deceiving, because there's going to come a time when the stuff that we're doing now, we're going to be blind to when the Lord's trying to show us another way. So the waters come. Everything begins to be consumed. 150 days. Well, let's begin with 40 days and 40 nights of rain. You read that it goes as far as 23 feet high to cover all the mountains. Everything as high as you could see was consumed in this flood. Whether it says it was global or local, I don't know. All that I know is that where Noah was, everything was covered. In 150 days, it says that the water remained on the earth. And here are some of us. We're believing. This is a word of encouragement, believe it or not. We're believing. We're holding on. We've been obedient. And it might seem like it's forever. And if you read that, some translations say that it was 365 days by the time that he got off. Some say it was up to 377 if you count the amount of days that they were on it before the waters ever came. But I'm here to tell you what feels like forever here is just a blink of an eye in heaven. Don't live in confusion and uncertainty and feel like that God is not moving just because a little bit of time has came to pass. Friend, know that God is concerned about you. He didn't leave them out on the waters beyond the concept of science that would have said that would have took double amount of time for that water to ever dissipate. But He sent a wind. He sent a wind down to begin to bring the waters down below. There's a wind that you can begin to feel as you worship the presence of God. And I want I want to tell somebody, I can't hardly say it, but there is a wind that will blow through your lips, and that is the Holy Ghost. That is the breath of life for the children of God today. Is there anybody that has the wind of God in you right now? Will you work in your gift right now? Let somebody hear. Let somebody know. Glory to God. There was a wind that blew that caused the waters to be divided from what was about to be promised unto Noah. I'm going to get to the promise even if you've got to go home. I'm excited about what the Lord has given me. But there was a space of time where the waters were pushed down in the underground. Hallelujah. Don't you know that that's God's authority over the enemy? Hallelujah. We know that the core of the earth has a lot of fire, and there's going to be a place one day where there's not going to be a drop that'll ever quench the thirst of those that are burning in the lake of fire. But that pressing down by the wind demonstrated the authority and dominion of God over the wickedness of what had already been consumed. The Bible said even the winds and the waves obey Him. Even the winds and the waves obey Him. Jesus walked by this same power when He spoke to the tempest. He said, "Peace, be still." Glory to God. And if we are called to be Christ-like, then that tells me that I can speak into the winds, "Peace, be still." No, nothing might be changing around me, but yet I'm still going to say, "Peace, be still." Why? Because it's not my power, not my authority, but through what Jesus has done. Is this good for you tonight? So the waters begin to go out. And here's another part where you can find something. Noah didn't just open the door with haste and try to run out and see what was up, but he wanted to be sure. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to wait, to exercise patience on, well, Lord, is this the right time? Is this when, God? So he sends forth, I believe it says, a raven. And he sends out a dove. The dove comes back after 7 days, realizing that if it had a place to live or sit, that it wouldn't have came back to the only place that it could sit. So he sends it forth out again, waiting upon the right time. Some of you are waiting right now. And I want to encourage you that there will come a time when the word will be just for you. There will come a time when the song will be just for you. But will you be willing to be listening for when God will tell you? Because I find that some of, just try to talk to me. Just tell me something. Just ask me how's it going. But I'm too upset right now and complaining, keep on talking, to ever hear what somebody is trying to tell me. My own wife has tried to talk sense into me when I've got discouraged, but I wouldn't even hear the counsel of who was closest to me, and I suffered for it because the Lord wants us to know that He not only moves audibly to speak to us, but He'll speak through others to minister to you. The question is, will you receive it if Brother Joe said it? Will you receive it if Sister Regina gets up and testifies? Will you receive it in worship? Regardless of the medium, God's trying to get our attention. For when the time shall come that the door can be opened. So the dove returns after the second release and returns back a branch. And he's like, all right, we're obviously getting closer. Because if the shrubbery is revealed, then we're at least getting close to where we can walk on it again. So he sends it out again, 7 days more, and here's the mystery. The bird doesn't return back to give an answer. So how do we know when to move? I'm glad to tell you, friend, that the Lord has spoken through my spirit to understand when. Such as an hour when you have exhibited all your known efforts, when you've done all that you can, when you've prayed all that you can do. The Bible says, having done all to stand ye therefore. When you have done all that you know to do, there comes a point when we don't have the branch to look at to know when the time has come that we go forth. But there comes a moment when it's not by sight, but it's by faith. He knew that when it had not returned after 7 days, that by faith he was coming out of there. And it's very humbling to me as the doors were opened and they go out and they receive the command to go and multiply and to replenish the earth as it was. For now it was basically a void of nothingness with no life except for what came forth out of the ark. What do we find Noah going to do? He's looking around for some rocks. He's looking around for some stuff. It might not have been pretty, but he was looking around for something. What was he doing, church? What was he doing? He was looking around for anything that he could build an altar for. Some of you might get disgusted with all the days that you hear the winds and the waves beating against your boat, having to ride around in the ark that long and hanging on to the promise of God. But if you are a truly humble individual, when it is all over and said and done, there'll be something in you that won't just walk away and say, I deserved it. But there'll be a part of you that will return unto God and say, Lord, I'm so glad that I made it. And Lord, I'm so thankful that my life isn't over. For Lord, I followed you and you kept me. And this altar, he took the best of what had been on the ride, the best of the exotic animals, and offered them up to God as his love and devotion. And that represents where we come in, where he said to pray him. He said to love your neighbor as yourself. He said the meek should inherit the earth. He said to walk humbly. He said those that were abased shall be exalted. Those that come through something are built up to humbleness.